shot for a selfie, whatever. And with the window thing, it was going to be just cramped and no chance to be able to. So we think that the Park and Rec Board, they have not met, and they don't meet until January. So I'm here tonight to be able to say, I think Jason will verify with me, that the Park and Rec Board all seemed totally in favor. They just wanted to be able to check that out. So we did make a change, but I don't think anybody's going to be against it. Since they don't meet until January, I'm here asking you guys for your approval of it, of the whole deal, so that we can get publicity out, because we're thinking at the end of, well, in December, people can do their gifting after your 70 and a half and all that, that we just think our fundraising can really get going now. And so we would just like to be able to get your approval on this project, and we are excited about it. So is Marion. Any questions?
Jason, do you want to give any update of the meeting about that?
Yeah, I think Glenn summarized it pretty well. I think the Parking Board members were all in favor of the project. They just wanted to make sure that staff was on board as far as determining a location. And like Glenn said, the Park and Rec Board don't meet again until January, so they wouldn't be able to come back to them and say, you know, this is the spot we picked, and get like a formal approval. But overall, I didn't hear any complaints at all about the project. They seem pretty excited about it.
All right. Any questions from the council? All right. Yeah, maybe we'll just add this under new business tonight.
Okay.
All right.
That would be fabulous.
Or does staff want? You want to take a motion now, or from council?
Do
it anyway.
Probably better.
Okay. Look for a motion to approve the
move that into our new business on the Mary and Ross bench.
Do you want to just make a motion to just take care of it, and then we don't have to? Then he can leave.
Your Honor, I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the project at the location that was specified by Mr. Parsons.
Okay,
I'll second it, Your Honor.
We have a motion by Councilor Howland, a second by Councilor Baker. Any discussion on the council?
Your Honor.
Yep. Said the engineer.
Can we have, you know, tentatively looked at it, but we haven't sat down with staff or streets or everybody and actually reviewed it and looked at the size and just made sure that there wasn't anything that we were missing. So I guess if you do approve it, if you would please put in a condition that upon, you know, further review from the city.
Okay. All right. Councilor Allen, would you mind that amendment to your motion?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Second, would that be okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right, any more discussion? Clerk, call roll.
Councilor Murray?
Aye.
Councilor Baker?
Aye.
Councilor Holland?
Aye.
Councilor Olson?
Aye.
Councilor Rasmussen?
Aye.
Councilor Brooks?
Aye.
Mayor Rasmussen?
Aye. Motion carries. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck with all the fundraising.
Thank you.
All right, and the next two individuals on my list, I believe, are here for the public hearing for the projects. So I think we'll wait with you. But anybody else wish to speak in the public forum? All right, seeing that, we're going to close the public forum. We're going to move forward to the consent and approval agenda. And 5A is our approval of minutes of the November 12, 2019 regular council meeting. 5B is approval of minutes of the November 12, 2019 work session. 5C is the approval of minutes of the November 18, 2019 special meeting. 5D is license and permits. 5E is going to be removed from the agenda tonight, which is the resolution amending the donation policy to include the streetscape. 5F is the resolution approving a lot division through certificate of survey, and 5G is the resolution approving the decertification of the tax increment financing district 5-23 of the city of Albert Lea. Council?
Move to approve, Your Honor, with the removal of E.
All right, we have a motion from Councilor Baker. Do we have a second?
I'll second that, Your Honor.
Second from Councilor Rasmussen. Any more discussion in the council? Clerk, call roll.
Councilor Baker?
Aye.
Councilor Holland?
Aye.
Councilor Olson?
Aye.
Councilor Rasmussen?
Aye.
Councilor Brooks?
Aye.
Councilor Murray?
Aye.
Mayor Rasmussen?
Aye. Motion carries. Six is petitions, requests, and communications, and 6A is the Trunk Highway 13 and Trunk Highway 69 traffic study presentation from the Minnesota Department of Transportation.
Mayor and Council, the Minnesota Department of Transportation has been evaluating the speed limit on Trunk Highway 69 and Trunk Highway 13 in Albert Lea to determine if the current speed limits are appropriate. MnDOT will be at the meeting to present the findings of the study and speed limit recommendations, and I believe this is our MnDOT rep.
Okay. Good evening.
Hi.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just came in the door. I was running a little bit behind, so I appreciate city managers and Mr. Yonke's patience. I'm Michael Schwann. I work for the Minnesota DOT in Rochester. I'm the district traffic engineer. And as one of the duties that our office conducts is, you know, setting, determining, establishing appropriate speed limits throughout the entire district, which is southeast, the 11 counties of southeastern Minnesota. And so here for Highway 13 and US 69, this has come to my attention. We did conduct a speed study, and the reasons that we did a speed study are, there's about three reasons. The first time is when we were evaluating the various trunk highways in the district for the 60 mile an hour legislation. You know, we did ultimately set 60 miles an hour on Highway 13 north of I-90. And as part of that study, you know, we could have looked all the way down to the traffic signal, for example, at Main Street and Highway 13. But because I was also aware, and this is a second reason for the study, of public safety concerns at Sunset Drive, you know, occasionally when there'd be a crash there at Highway 13 and Sunset Drive, you know, we'd hear from the police officer, the police department, via Steve generally, with concerns there. And so that's a second reason why we looked at this corridor. And then also more recently, we do understand and we do share the concerns. The public have expressed concerns down at 9th Street South on US 69 in terms of safety. So for those reasons, we did look at, we did conduct a study because we felt it was time and it was appropriate to see if like the north and south ends can or should be adjusted. And so we did that. And so my purpose tonight is just to present to you, you know, a little bit of background of that study briefly, and then our recommendations. So the recommendations that I have tonight would be ones that we would plan to encapsulate in what we call a speed limit authorization. It's a package of materials that goes to our central office where our commissioner's representative would review it and then approve it if they agree, or disapprove if they disagree. And so we call that a speed limit authorization. And those have already, you know, in the past, the way these speed limits were originally set was done the same way. So that's why we did this study, and the study is done under my direction. And so what we did, and I've got some handouts if it suits the council. I'll just hand a packet. So if you would please take what you'd like and pass them down. And if the public is interested, I have here, so I'll just pass these around. If you want to take one, may I do that? Yep. So I apologize for not getting this in the minutes or in the package, but it's as you'll see, it's pretty informal. So because of the concerns, as I've stated, and because ongoing development of the city in terms of, for example, increased traffic on some of these streets, as well as increased developments, you know, on the west side of 13 and 69, we did the study. And so what the sheet shows you is when you get it, the six green points are the areas where we did collect, for example, speed data. And what we're doing is we're trying to collect a large enough random sample just to see what existing traffic is doing out there. And we look at various patterns in that. So we did collect it at six different points. And then the other part of our study is people like me or a person that does the study, we drive the road numerous times. And then we also create a physical documentation of where the streets are, where the driveways are, where the signs are at, what the shoulders like, how wide is the road. Basically, in our studies and in when we make an engineering decision, it's based on the character of the road. You know, how would a normal, rational driver typically, you know, feel safe and reasonable driving on that road? You know, what speed limit is appropriate? The reason that this process is important to us is because we're trying to set a reasonably safe and prudent speed limit. We're not trying to set speed limits high so traffic can just rush through town. We're not doing that. We're also not trying to set the speed limit too low, such that if the speed limit doesn't match the actual conditions or character of the road, that people could be ticketed, for example, in a speed trap type situation. So, and as usual, it's not cut and dried. I mean, there's no clear-cut computer that you put it in, it spits out a recommendation. It's based on our judgment. And in my case, I've been working in this district for approximately 21 years, and I've done a lot of speed studies. So, what the sheet also shows then is that the six green dots are where we've gathered data, and where you can see the 40 mile an hour red mark, that's approximately where the 40 mile an hour speed zone is now. And then of course to the south there, you know, if you went just north of Plainview Street, or actually just in the area of West Front Street, you know, the school is right in there. And we know that there's a school crossing right in that area, and that the school does use a crossing guard, that there also is overhead warning flashers that can be, you know, turned on when people are crossing. So we do understand the sensitivity there and the concern for that. And so based on our drives and then looking at the data we get at these green points, that's how we decide what we feel is appropriate to recommend. So at Sunset Street, where now you can see the 40 mile an hour sign is just south of Sunset, what the pink shows is where I recommend moving the signage to actually extend the reduced speed zone a little bit further north of Sunset. Sunset does see quite a bit of traffic trying to intersect on Highway 13. Also, it's at a skew angle. You know, it doesn't come in at a nice 90 degree angle. So I feel it would be appropriate to extend that zone out just a little bit. And actually, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Let's talk about the, if it's appropriate, just some of the data at the two green dots. So at that first green dot that's right near the pink line, and just let me know if I'm talking too much or you want me to cut to the chase, or because I recognize you're trying to run an efficient meeting and you've got a lot of stuff to talk about, so I do respect that. One of the things we do is we gather the speed data, and it shows us kind of the range of speeds that people are driving, and, you know, like the maximums, the minimums, and then there's also the 50th percentile, where about 50% of drivers are either going faster or slower than. And then we also look at, historically in these studies, one of the starting points where what we use for determining or setting speed limits is what's called the 85th percentile. And so if you were to plot the speeds, the range of speeds, like you see, the median is about the average, where people are driving either faster or slower than. And then the 85th percentile is the point at which we typically start setting. We look at that as an initial speed limit. And that's the speed at which 85% of drivers, 85% and less of drivers are driving less than that speed, and about 15% are driving faster than that speed. And we just use that as, and safety studies have shown that's the best place to start in terms of setting your speed limit. And another key part of setting speed limits is to try to get more traffic driving closer to the same speed. What we found is that if we have a speed limit that's lower or much lower than what the character of the road tells you, that it results in more of a spread of speeds, more speed variation, because some people may just abide by it and drive it, whereas other drivers may think it's ridiculous or too low, and so they'll be driving, you know, well over the speed limit. And what studies have shown is the more we can have traffic driving a little bit more uniformly in terms of speed, that it's going to be a safer condition. That's where we're at with that. What I'd like to do is let's just look at the green dots south of Sunset. What our data shows is that there's only approximately 10% of traffic, actually 11%, is driving at 40 miles an hour or below at that location just south of Sunset. It's actually south of Elmira. What the data also shows, and this is consistent with our own drive-throughs, it shows about a little more than 50, I would say 50 to 60% of drivers are driving at or about 45. And then at 50 miles an hour, for what it's worth, there's approximately 90% of vehicles are driving, you know, at or below 50. But at 45 miles an hour, that's approximately 50 to 60% of the traffic is driving at. And so a key thing for us is when we see, like in this case, 10% of existing traffic is driving at or below the posted speed limit, to us that's an indicator that the road character is different than the speed limit. And in this case, where we have a four-lane divided road, and we do have streets that intersect there, we do have some driveways, but where the road is relatively open and it has ditches, it just doesn't typically, the sense that the driver gets is that 40 miles an hour is, you know, not necessarily appropriate. And that's consistent with my own professional opinion. As I've driven that road multiple times, when I drive 40, this is my opinion, on a divided four-lane section like that, and I was just doing this a few weeks ago, 40, to me, just in terms of safety, felt like it was actually hard to go that speed. And so what we do is we'll drive the road at different speeds just to feel how comfortable we feel. It's a comfort thing, but then we combine that with some data in terms of safety. So, and for that reason, that's why, in this case, my recommendation would be to extend the reduced speed limit up north of Sunset, but I feel that 40, and I realize it's been like this for a long time, I feel that 40 is inappropriately a slow speed limit, and that I recommend the speed limit in this area be raised to 45, because that's much more consistent with the data. It's much more consistent with our drives. And I've already spoken about this with our people up in the central office that review these types of things. They're the ones who actually approve the speed limit authorization, and they're in consensus with that preliminary recommendation. Now, why don't we jump down to the green spot there that's just south of Front Street? And that's where we also gathered some speed data, and I just want to share with you some of that data. And in that area, of course, it's posted 40 miles an hour. That's the statutory, or that's the legally set speed limit. And again, where we gathered the data is in the four-lane section. The 40 actually starts right in the vicinity of Southview Lane. But for northbound traffic, that's where the road just is opening up, and it's widening out to a four-lane road. And so it sends the driver a different message than when you're on a typical two-lane road. So in this case, down here, you know, traffic appears to be driving just a little, you know, slower than they did up at up north. About 20 to 25% of traffic here appears to be doing 40 or less. So it's higher consistently with the actual speed limit. In terms of at 45 miles an hour, about, I would say, 65 to 70% of drivers are at or below 45. And then at 50 miles an hour, for example, it's 87 to 96%. It's a range. What we do is we divide southbound traffic from northbound traffic. And in those cases, I would say 85 to 95% of traffic is going at 50 or below. So 50 is quite high. You know, there's just a small percentage of drivers that are driving at 50 or above. But at 45 or above, it's about 30 to 40%. Were tracked as driving at 45 or above, and then the inverse of that would be 65 or 60% are driving at 45 or less. And then again, as I mentioned, at 40 miles an hour, it's about 20 to 25% of traffic. And just, and when I've driven the zone, is, you know, the four-lane divided section is as well as where it comes together, you know, in the two-lane section south of there. This speed data is consistent with how I felt and based on my professional judgment, that I feel 40 is not appropriate. And that it doesn't fit the roadway character. What we do is we look, as I mentioned before, we look at how many driveways there are, we look at street connections, we look at just how close the development or the structures are to the road. We look at the width of the shoulder, and the other thing we did consider here is you know, city engineer Steve Yonke has pointed out to us that the, you know, the trail that's there along the east side that does go down to 9th Street and that people cross at 9th. And because, you know, you're a blue zone city and you're trying to get people to walk and bike more, which I think is really excellent. And so I've taken note of those pedestrian facilities down there and the traffic on 9th Street. So we did also collect some data just north of 9th Street. And that does show, you know, how people are coming into town. And to me, this helps a collaborator confirm, you know, people's kind of concerns about 9th Street is the speeds. So at the green dot there, that location just above 9th Street, we show, and this, you know, it's posted, it's, and we also realized that that was changed. That's another thing that created our need to do the study is when we raised the speed limit from 55 to 60 on the rural portions of 69. And given where the speed limit changes now, so our speed data showed, you know, at 50 miles an hour, there's about 30 to 35% of the traffic is doing 50 or less, and this is north of 9th. Right around 70% are going 55 or less, but then about, according to this data, about 30% are going faster than 55 there still. And that would make sense because of the change in the speed limit, but also, sorry, because of the change from 55 to 60 on 69, and then also the fact that the 40 mile an hour speed limit begins just there south of Southview. And so part of our proposal is to move the reduced speed limit to a point south of 9th Street to let people know, hey, you're coming to town, and we feel that this reduced speed limit from the existing 60 is safer and more appropriate. And we still can't, it's no guarantee of, let's say, people's safety if you're trying to drive across 69 and 9th Street or if you're a pedestrian. As is always the case, the driver and or the pedestrian has to be paying attention, make a good decision about the gaps you have. But that's our current proposal is to move the reduced speed limit down to a point south of 9th, but that I feel very strongly, well, professionally, that 40 miles an hour, it's been there a long time, but I feel that it's inappropriate. And when we do set what I'll call a better speed limit, and not everybody will agree, it does, help to bring more uniformity to speed patterns through there. It matches the speed limit better with the character of the road, and so you have less speed variability. So I'm sure I took more time than the council would plan on, but I'm open for questions.
Any questions in the council?
Your Honor,
Councilor Baker?
I just want to say one thing, that this is well received, especially for the people on Sunset. When we redid the street here 2 or 3 years ago and we put a sidewalk in, that was one of the concerns of the people on Sunset about the speed, because I think shortly after that it went to 60. It went up 60, and they were really concerned because at some point Sunset extends across Highway 13, and we're going to, once that gets paved, I would imagine we're going to probably put either sidewalk or a path of some sort out there. And the big concern was people crossing that
to get over there. So everybody, I know everybody on Sunset is going to be real happy about this. Myself, I'm happy about it. And I thank you for taking the time to do the study, and I thank you for taking the time to be here, and I thank you for changing it. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Counselor. If I could just respond to the Counselor, yep. just very yep. briefly. In terms of future paving of Sunset to the west, I have driven that, and when I met or talked with Engineer Steve Yonke, you know, he told me about the facilities that were over there, so I specifically drove that road and looked over there and tried to understand what's, you know, our plan for the future. So thank you.
Any questions? Counselor Murray?
Your Honor, so if I look at the speeds that you did on that north green dot, mm-hmm. and you said, here's what you're seeing, 10% are driving 40 or below, if you're moving that speed limit up 5 miles an hour, mm-hmm. would you be coming back next year telling us that 10% are driving at 50 and below and 50% are at 50 plus? Or
no.
do you think they will fit into these? Will this handle that better?
Yes, this will handle it better. We won't be back next year or anytime soon saying, oh, we need to change it again, because they're, what this speed limit does is actually, it's my professional opinion based on experience that you actually won't, you'll see some change in actual speeds out there. You may see on average 1 to 2, 3 miles an hour, but by putting this speed limit into place, it will reduce that variation, and it'll better match the character of the road, and people will respect it more. So, mm-hmm.
Your Honor.
Counselor Howland.
So the Highway 69 portion is in my ward, and I had had a few concerns from residents in that area over the last year, and brought it to the attention of the city engineer, and kind of got, I think, this whole process going. So I want to thank you for putting in the work with the study, and also thank you for these recommendations, because I really think they make common sense as far as moving the speed limit out further away from the roads that are, or the streets that are in town. Safety obviously is an issue. Another issue that I heard was also the noise from trucks coming in and applying their brakes, and that being in a residential area, mm-hmm. and so that this will help alleviate some of that as well. My question for you would be, so you mentioned 69, actually, that folks were going a little bit slower there than compared to Highway 13. Was there any consideration as far as leaving that at 40, especially with the school in that area as well?
I think if I understand you right, Counselor, you were thinking that the speeds on 69 were slower than the north.
Yeah, I thought, isn't that what you said, that compared to 13, that people were below or at 45 or at 50 or okay. whatever below? The percentage was better.
Yes, yes. Thank you for clarifying that. I was thinking of the green dot, the speed location just north of 9th.
No, so so the one near the mm-hmm. Middle school.
That one is different. We have gotten, you know, yes, the speed pattern there was somewhat lower than the first green spot near Sunset. However, it's we still, my opinion is that 40 is still too low. It shows about 20 to 25% of traffic doing 45 or below. I'm sorry, 40 or below. And at 45, it showed about 65 to 69%. And 85th percentile is typically a place where we start and where we start looking at the speed limit. In this case, the 85th percentile in that area is about 85 to 90% at 49 miles an hour. So we'd be looking for something less than that, but we're looking for something more than 40, because just 20 to 25% of traffic is driving at 40. I feel, because especially it's a four-lane divided section, and because once the speed limit is set, you know, it's in place 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and I feel because the school and the city is doing the right thing at the school crossing, in terms of providing a crossing guard when the school kids are coming to and from school, not during times when there's recreational traffic, and then also with the overhead flasher, I'm I'm confident that going to 45 won't change the speed profile very much, and I still feel that the data in my own drives confirm that it should be 45 as well.
And then I had one other question for you. So then if this goes to the folks that you were talking about and it is approved, what sort of timeline are we looking at on when the new speed limit will be in place, or the location and the new speed limit?
Right. We're trying to make this go faster, because the city has already been patient and the people that live down there. And for example, you know, based on feedback, and I'll check in with Steve within a day or two and just see what feedback he has. If anything else came up after this meeting, you know, from your citizens, or if you want to wait till after it's published in the paper. But we would submit that package, and hopefully within a week or 10 days, the people in central office can review it. And if it's approved, then we can move forward with our signing work order. And I'll be talking with our sign crews about getting this done. So hopefully within 2 to 3 weeks, you know, by mid-December is what I'm shooting for, because winter's coming, as we all know, and you guys have already been patient. It took us a while to pull all this together. So before the end of the year.
Great, thank you. And thank you to city staff for all their work too.
Other questions? If not, I'd like to say thank you to MnDOT. This has been, in my opinion, a good example of good governance.
Okay.
The community came together with MnDOT. We worked together on this project, and really to move forward with, I think, a good recommendation, I think our community is going to be very happy with. So I appreciate your time and really explaining a lot of this to people, because I don't think everybody understands how speed limits are set.
They don't.
It was good. Hopefully a lot of people are watching tonight on TV, and they could get a good feel for how that takes place. So thank you for your time and coming down tonight also.
Yep, you're welcome, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, with that, we're going to move on to number 8 and number 7, our unfinished business, which we have done. So we'll move right into number 8, new business. And 8A is the public hearing and resolution adopting the assessments for the Northwest Sewer and Water Extension Improvements, Stable Area Service Hookups. And this is job 1702. So we're going to open up our public hearing with staff.
The attached resolution would adopt the final assessments on November 25th, 2019 for city job number 1702. The Northwest Sewer and Water Extension Improvements, Stables Area Service Hookups. Roadways as part of this project include Belgrave Drive, North Trail, East Trail, West Trail, Elm Street, and Country Club Road. The city project installed sanitary sewer and water main to the right-of-way line for homeowners. The homeowners are responsible for all the work from the right-of-way line into the property. This includes the private sewer service and private water service, as well as the removal or crushing of the existing septic system. The city hired a contractor to perform this work, but found the majority could hire their own plumber to perform this work at a lower cost. The project allows the sewer and water hookups to be assessed to the property. The assessments will be over 25 years versus the 20 years previously discussed at 2% interest. This change was made to follow the same duration as the PFA loan. Staff recommends approval.
City Attorney, could you also clarify, I believe this is the assessment part that everybody has signed already to waive, right?
That is correct.
Yep, their option to fight. So, for the council, anybody have any questions on the council? All right, so for the public, once again, this is just for the hookup fees, the service hookup fees, the assessment on that. So if you wish to speak with that, please come forward for the first time. The second time, would anybody like to speak in regards to the service hookups?
Would this be the main sewer line or the one from the sewer line to the house?
Sewer line to the house, yeah. Just need your name, please.
Roger Nelson.
Yep.
2021 West Trail. And you probably know I'm the lowest property out there and the longest from it's 180 feet from my septic tank to where my pipe is. And I was talking to Steve, and I had a plumber come out there, and he said, I don't have enough drop. There's 1.6. And Steve said there 1% is 1.7, so it's legal, which doesn't sound too good to me. You know, when you're running your sewer line, you get a bump in it, and it probably don't work. That's what my thought. So I had a plumber over there, and he thought I needed a pump. We could go into my main sewer line coming down from the upstairs. I got a story and a half house. We could go about a foot and a half off the basement floor and then out, and we could get our 3-foot drop, which they thought we need. But Steve Honkey says I only need 1.7. So I was thinking the city might buy the pump or something. Or talk about it, because I used to have two properties there, and we incorporated them 12 years ago, my wife and I. Sorry, she passed away a year ago. So that's why we did it. So that's what I'm... And I think I want to go with a local plumber. Steve thought we should go with this guy from Rochester, but another $1,000 don't mean that much to me through what I've gone through, so that's all right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the second time, would anybody like to speak in regards to the service hookups?
I'm not sure which one I should be.
It would be the next one.
Yeah,
next
yours.
One?
Yeah. All right, then. The third and final time, would anybody like to speak in regards to the stable area service hookups?
Yeah, I would for Archie. Aren't the sewer mains deeper than the actual lines out there?
City engineer, do you have an answer to that?
Like 12 foot. So why does he need a pump? Couldn't that be corrected for the depthness?
Sir, I'll take the questions, okay?
Okay.
And I'll give out answers. All right, so what's the question now?
How deep is the actual sewer mains out there versus the line? Couldn't the lines went deeper in the ground?
City engineer, do you have an answer for that?
So Mr. Nelson has the property that was essentially what we designed our sewers for. He has the deepest, he's the farthest away and the deepest. So his is where essentially he's got the shallowest. I don't know how to explain that, but he is essentially the shallowest of all of the sewers. You don't want to go. The deeper you go, the more expensive it costs. So his is the controlling house out in the whole subdivision. So his is what we set the sewer depths on, is Mr. Nelson's.
So how much more would the cost been to go that deeper with that big of equipment and whatnot? I wouldn't think it'd take more than a couple more minutes to dig that much deeper with the biggest equipment as the contractor had.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're right. So the depth is controlled. That depth of Mr. Nelson's is controlled by the whole sewer system. So essentially, we would have had to start at the beginning and go the depth. So it wouldn't be just in front of his house. It would have been the whole 2,000 or 3,000 feet we went.
But that wasn't the only house that wasn't deep enough out there. There was, I think, probably five or six that weren't deep enough.
City engineer, do you?
There's two different issues going on. One is the sewer line was put in deep enough, where the service connection elevations were, and five or six houses were set too high, and we did have to go back in and adjust those.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I've called for the third and final time. Anybody else wish to speak? All right, close the public hearing. Open up to the council. So just so everybody understands, I believe everybody has agreed, right, to these service hookup fees, right, city attorney?
That was my understanding, correct.
Yeah. Your Honor, yes, everyone who's on this item has actually signed a petition waiving their rights to, and they're voluntarily. We gave them the option on this one. So under this scenario, these people have asked us to put the assessments against their property.
So normally the city would not be involved in these hookups, if I'm correct there. This would have been something the individuals would have taken care of themselves.
That's correct.
So I'm looking for a motion to... I'm sorry, our public hearing's done for this part. So I'm looking for a motion.
Your Honor, I move to approve.
A motion from Councilor Murray. Do we have a second?
I'll second that, Your Honor.
Second from Councilor Olson. Any more discussion on the council?
I am.
Councilor Brooks.
Okay, pertaining like to Archie's place out there, what exactly are we talking here? I'm not a sewer guy, so. So, Roger.
Sure.
I know him as Archie. So it needs to be, should be deeper?
City Engineer, do you want to clear that up one more time?
So we will be continuing to work with Roger or Mr. Nelson. That's something we have to determine. The plumber looked at it. We're still looking at it. We just looked at it last week is really the first time the plumber's looked at it. So we are going to work with Mr. Nelson to figure out what the best option is there.
So when we figure that option out, is there consideration from the city's part to contribute any type of?
We're still hoping we can make it work under minimum grade. If we determine we can't, we would certainly look at that.
Okay.
No, we're done with our public hearing. Okay, no more questions? All right, clerk, call the roll.
Councilor Holland?
Aye.
Councilor Olson?
Aye.
Councilor Rasmussen?
Aye.
Councilor Brooks?
Aye.
Councilor Murray?
Aye.
Councilor Baker?
Aye.
Mayor Rasmussen?
Aye, motion carries. That'll bring us number 8B, which is the public hearing resolution adopting the assessments for the Northwest Sewer and Water Extension Improvements. This is a stable area project, including this Country Club Road, job 1702. So we're opening up a public hearing with staff comment.
The attached resolution would adopt the final assessments on November 25th, 2019 for job number 1702, the Northwest Sewer and Water Extension Improvements Stables Area Project, including Country Club Road. This project provided sanitary sewer and water to the stables area and properties along Country Club Road, as well as accommodates a future extension of the sanitary sewer and water main north along County State Aid Highway 20 to the West Plaza area. Roadways and storm sewer systems are being reconstructed as part of this project that includes Belgrade Drive, North Trail, East Trail, West Trail, Elm Street, and Country Club Road. The City of Albert Lea and Freeborn County have both contributed up to $300,000, $600,000 combined, toward this project. The Public Facilities Authority has provided grants for the project. The estimated amounts are $736,927.77 for water and $943,338.75 for sewer. These amounts are lower than the original estimate because overall cost decreased from the proposed amount. Per City of Albert Lea assessment policy, the entire cost of the project will be assessed to the benefiting property owners less the funding from the city, county, and grant funds if available. The costs for the project are assessed at a per lot basis. This was done because all properties benefit equally from this construction. The final assessment per lot is approximately $18,918 per lot, including sewer and water development fees. This is approximately 11% lower than the original estimate. Two property owners who own a home and vacant lot have requested the council consider only assessing one lot. They have been assessed for two lots because both lots are considered buildable lots. The resolution allows 1607 Ridgeway Drive West until November 25th, 2023 to connect to sewer and water due to a new septic at the property. These costs do not include the cost to crush septic or install sewer and water services. The assessments will be over 25 years at 2% interest. Staff recommends approval.
And just so that everybody in the public knows, if you wish to contest your assessment, you need to give us a written statement today with your name and address on it, stating that you contest your assessment so that you can fight it in district court. So we will need that today by the end of the public hearing, just so everybody's clear on that, okay? So now I'll open up to the council. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, for the first time, I'm gonna open up to the public. Would anybody like to speak in regards to this assessment?
Yep. Mayor.
Just need your name.
Yes, Dan Coker, appearing on behalf of Larry Wongen. May I?
Yep.
Mr. Wongen is filling in his address on the
written
objection
no
as we speak.
Your Honor, Mr. Wongen already has the objection forward,
okay,
as well as the other property as well.
All right. So we already got those from those two properties.
I'm sorry. What was that?
They've already filled out that contesting the assessment, so
okay.
They don't need to do another time.
I would actually appreciate
that. No, that's fine. We'll take two.
May I approach?
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. This objection relates to the issues that Mr. Mayor mentioned before. Mr. Wongan, through, as a trustee of his wife's trust, combined two lots, and based upon the combination of the lot into one parcel ID number, understood that he would be assessed for just one lot. The intent of the combination of that lot was just to make the lot bigger for more enjoyable use of the property. There's been no intent for him to ever use that lot after it was combined into two separate lots, even though it's buildable. In 2018, it was combined into one property tax parcel ID number. The parcel was then combined for specifically for property tax purposes. Prior to the combination of those two lots into one lot, Mr. Wongan requested assurances from the city as to whether or not he would be subject to two separate assessments if that was done. And according to Mr. Wongan, he was told that that shouldn't be a problem. Based upon that, he combined the two parcels into one parcel ID and is now being subject to two separate assessments for a total of $38,000 and change for one parcel ID. The parcel ID is 34464-0020, and it's at 1607 Richway Drive. More importantly, I think the history of this is important, but I think more importantly, he's also objecting that the assessment that has been proposed for these parcels are specifically not related at all to the increase in the market value of the property due to the improvement. And so he would object to a number of different issues relating to this property. But finally, you know, there was some confusion tonight about whether or not this hearing was going to take place too. And so the hearing, Mr. Wongan can speak to this, but the hearing was potentially going to be postponed. And so, you know, I guess apparently an hour beforehand or a couple hours beforehand, I learned that this hearing was actually going to happen this evening. And so we'd object also on that basis as well. I've submitted a written objection on behalf of Mr. Wong as well, and I hope the council would consider his request.
Thank you. Mr. McGrider.
I'd just like to say,
I just need your name.
Larry Wongan. Prior to buying this property, I called Steve Yonke up and asked him if they were going to be doing a per foot footage on the road right away or if it would be on a per lot basis. He said it more likely be a per lot basis. At that time, I had Savakul Coker's office combine it. It was combined again or into a trust at a later time. But prior to 2018, we had that all combined into one lot, thinking that that was good. That was prior to the city getting taken and annexing us in. So Steve said, I don't have the right, what do you call it, Steve, for a survey. I needed a...
So the lots weren't...
City engineer, do you have that answer?
Yes, the lots weren't combined. The reason it's still two... The lots were combined, as Mr. Coker said, for based on one parcel for tax purposes. But the issue is that he could... They weren't combined under administrative survey to make them one lot. So right now, the lot could still be sold separately is the issue.
Thank you.
But at the time I had them combined, I wasn't doing it for tax purposes. I was doing it. I wouldn't have bought the property if I would have knew. That's why I called you prior to buying the property, to make sure that I wasn't going to get two assessments if I combined it all into one. So that's why I had it combined into one, thinking that was taking care of it. And then he said I didn't have the survey, or this is whatever you call it there then.
Okay.
So anyway, I guess I wasn't planning on two assessments.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Wongan. For the second time, would anybody like to speak in regards to the Stables Area project, including the Country Club Road, job 1702? You just need your name.
Jason Sadak. Council, may I?
Yep.
I got one for you, Mr. Todd, and Ms. Martinez.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. if you reference the second page, I'm going to start. Good evening. My name is Jason Sadak of 1710 North Trail on behalf of myself and Lacey Pedersen, Mayor, members of council. I'm here this evening to express my objections to the proposed assessments resulting from the Northwest Sewer and Water Extension Improvement Stables Area Project. I have submitted an outline of my objections to the assessment, but will present them in more detail now. First and most importantly, this way of annexation was conducted constitutes an unconstitutional deprivation of the effective property owner's due rights process in violation of the 5th and 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. Due process protects against the deprivation of life, property, and liberty without due process of law. Procedural due process requires at a minimum that when such deprivation occurs, affected party have notice and opportunity to be heard. Notice by publication is insufficient, as explained by the American Jurisprudence, second edition. Notice by publication should be a last resort, not an expedient replacement for personal service. And because notice by publication is a poor and sometimes a hopeless substitute for actual service of notice, its justification is difficult at best. The Supreme Court held in Walker versus City of Hutchinson that when a city knew the name of a property owner by virtue of his name being in the official record, notification by publication, the newspaper alone regarding actions taken against his property was insufficient to satisfy due process. The annexation of my property amounts to the deprivation of my property interest. City water and sewer lines are now permanently placed on my property, required to disconnect from functioning well and septic system. Due process required city to provide me with notice of its intents to plan to annex my property in advance of that action. No notice was provided to the current homeowner. An opportunity to be heard was not given to current homeowner. And all notices sent by the city until I called in May of 2019 asking what was going on were addressed to the prior owner. That is actually in the back of this. Despite me being the owner on record since June of 2018. The statute under which the city annexed my property is unconstitutional. Second, the city sent its employees onto my private property without notice or administrative warrant to conduct searches for water lines. This amounted to an unlawful search in violation of the Fourth Amendment. Neither I nor anyone else acting as an agent, an owner, or my agent gave consent to the city, its agents, officers, or employees to enter my property at any time. Further, no one affiliated with the city applied for or received an administrative warrant to enter my property, despite my statement that they did not have authorization to be on the property without such a warrant. Instead, city employees had to be removed from my property on three separate occasions. As outlined in the highlighted portions of the Minnesota League of Cities, which I have provided, administrative warrants memorandum I have presented for your review. This is a violation of my rights guaranteed by the Fourth Amendment. I also had a conversation with the city attorney in June where she stated warrants are only processed for criminal activity, hence the illegal search by a city agent is not in violation. As you can see in the attached memorandum, your city attorney's statement was legally inaccurate. City did not have my consent to be on my property and therefore committed a Fourth Amendment violation. Letters sent by the city post-annexation stated its established policy for depriving citizens of their 4th, 5th, and 14th Amendment rights accordingly. The city will be liable for these violations under 42 United States Code Section 1983. Third, you have asked property owners to object to the amount of the assessment levied against their properties but have not given specific amounts of the assessment. I object entirely due to the assessment being a result of an unconstitutional annexation, and I object based on failure to provide an accurate amount per property. Finally, you have noted that properties may qualify for deferment in the assessed amount. How will these deferment obligations be recouped by the city? And any distribution of those deferred amounts to the remaining property owners would amount to an exaction that is established by the Supreme Court in Dolan versus City of Tigard, because the assessment amount would not be roughly proportionate to the burden imposed on each individual property.
Thank you. Okay, for the third and final time, would anybody like to speak in regards to their assessment? All right, we're gonna close our public hearing and open up to the council.
Your Honor, I'll move to adopt the assessments for the sewer and water extension improvements in the Stables area.
So a motion from Counselor Olson. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Counselor Murray. Any more discussion on the council?
I have. Just a question. I know we're talking sewer and water extension, so I'll just use, you know, another example as an assessment policy pertaining to Larry's waves explained during their presentation by Mr. Colker and Larry that it's one lot. My understanding is this, it's one lot now, and if we do other projects, we cap projects. You know, we have done projects where we cap the footage of the assessment, but I know on those type of projects, it was just like a road project. For example, in Jason's area on West 9th, we have a property that, you know, has actually a large piece of property, but it was capped at a certain amount of distance. So what I'm asking on something like Larry's, if it is, I guess I'm confused a little bit of its one lot in legal title, but it is actually being assessed for two lots. So that could just be explained.
City Engineer, could you explain that one more time?
So Mr. Wong, and I could be, but there's actually there's actually five lots on the Wong and Trust property. There's three lots that are facing Ridgeway Drive, and that's why the address is there. And then there's two lots that are adjoining to Country Club Road. And as Mr. Coker said, you know, they did go to the county and go through the process of combining them for tax purposes. But if he did want to sell one of them separately, he still could at this point, is what I believe.
So in other words, it's kind of saying that there's two that, I mean, we weren't talking five lots. He explained just two lots.
So there's two lots that are on Country Club Road, and the way I understand it is if the Wong and Trust wanted to sell one of those two lots, they could do that without having to split them back up.
So he wouldn't legally have to go whatever he needs to do in order to separate those lots?
They still have individual legal descriptions, and they're still legal individual lots.
Okay. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't really get it, but I guess I don't understand how he can have one lot, but like you say, actually have two lots, legal description, to be able to sell one.
City Attorney, do you have any clarification for us?
So he combined them for purposes of a tax statement, so he gets a single tax statement that includes both parcels, but for purposes of platting, there are actually two individual parcels. So he could sell one of those parcels at any point in time. It has not been combined into a single unit parcel that's being taxed. Two parcels being taxed into one tax statement.
So it's not actually one lot.
It's actually two parcels.
Okay.
Any more questions? Councilor Holland?
Yep. So it sounds to me like Mr. Wong maybe didn't get the greatest legal advice, because he says his intent was to make it for one lot so that he was only assessed for that one lot, and that it was only done for tax purposes. So can we give him the option of moving forward with what he intended to do to begin with and make it officially one lot with, you know, the survey or the plat or whatever it is.
So it shows legal one parcel. Term.
So it's one parcel. Can we move forward with that? Let him move forward with that if he's willing to do so, you know, before the assessments, because it's a year until the assessments take hold anyway, right?
I would think we move forward with what we have and let the courts take care of the discretion. I mean, that's what we've done on multiple portions in the past, and you see who's right and who's wrong.
Can I get the parcel number again from Mr. Wagon or from Mr.
Any other questions in the council?
Yeah.
Councilor Baker?
Did I hear
that on this property that there was a newer septic system? Or is there? Okay, how old?
2013, it's been $9,000 for the new septic, because it wasn't a city water and sewer.
Hold on, I need you to come up here, because there's people listening on the radio and...
So, how long ago?
In 2013, I put in a new septic system, all into compliance. And it's all in compliance today. I gave Steve Yonke the compliance paperwork, so he has it.
Okay.
And it was right around $9,000.
Okay. And so, with that having been said, we've done this before on other projects where there's a new septic system put in, and so we've kind of prorated the assessments because of that, if I'm not correct. And so I guess I'm not understanding why this wasn't brought up as an option to Mr. Longin.
City Engineer, Mr. Yonke, do you have a...
What we propose is what we did the last couple is basically give it a 10-year life. So what's in the resolution and what the city manager explained is that we were recommending giving Mr. Wong until 2023 to hook up before so he gets the life of that septic.
Yeah, okay, I understand that, but I know that there was one in particular out on Highway 69 that I remember. That when they were annexed in, there was a homeowner that had put in a new septic system, and if I'm not mistaken, we prorated their assessment because of that. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that I remembered that.
We did do that, and that one was a brand new. It was, I believe, it was less than 2 years old, and that was why we did it that way.
Okay. I guess I would say I would like to look at that as part of this, just for the simple reason that, you know, it's a newer system, and I understand that the reason that part of the reason that this was annexed into the city, well, obviously, in 2007 they were petitioned to be annexed into the city, but another reason is because the county and the watershed have looked at different places within Freeborn County and looked at their septic systems and had them tested and some of the areas where they're failing or in every place where they had septic systems, they were ordered, you know, at some point they had to move forward and put new septic systems in. And so, my personal opinion, I think we need to look at that part of this also.
And you understand that we're going to let him use the septic system through the life of the septic system before he hooks up to the city?
Okay. All right.
Your Honor.
Yeah. Councilor Holland?
Just so I'm clear, so your address is 1607 Ridgeway?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So so you're the one that's until November 25th? 2023 is the cutoff date for when you need to connect. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions on the council? There's several issues that have been brought up tonight that are probably legal issues. I don't know, as a council, we should be deciding legal issues. That's why people have the right to go to court, district court, and contest these. We encourage you to do that.
Okay.
We feel that that's important. And so I don't know, the council, if we need to decide those legal issues. And so we encourage you to, and you've reserved that right now through those letters, so we appreciate that. And also with you, Jason. Any more questions on the council?
Your Honor.
City Engineer, Mr. Yonke.
I'd like to note, too, that there was one more letter that was submitted. It was for 1516 Country Club Road, which was also to retain their rights.
All right, thank you. All right, clerk, call the roll.
Councilor Holland?
Aye.
Councilor Olson?
Aye.
Councilor Rasmussen?
Aye.
Councilor Brooks?
Aye.
Councilor Murray?
Aye.
Councilor Baker?
No.
Mayor Rasmussen?
Aye. Motion carries. So with that, we'll move into number 9, our mayor and council reports, and we'll start with Ward 1. Councilor Murray.
Your Honor, I had a couple of ward items I've been working with the city manager and staff on. Other than that, no meetings this past week.
All right, thank you. Ward 2, Councilor Baker.
I have no ward items, but I do have a report on the Historic Preservation Commission
meeting that I went to, there's two issues, or there's three things on the agenda. Two of them were about sign approvals for signs in the downtown historic district, and the third one I'm kind of happy to talk about is that there were two people there, a developer, and two developers that were have plans to renovate and make market rate apartments out of the old VFW building. So, and they're right now they're working on tax credits for the historic district, and they're working on some other stuff. And they had the plans there, and they just kind of went through them. And I'm pretty excited about it because if this thing goes through, it's going to help just another little section of the downtown be redeveloped and kind of add another piece to the puzzle that we tried. So, you know, we started years ago in the downtown, and as far as our investment's concerned. With that, Your Honor, that's all I have.
Thank you. Ward 3, Councilor Howland.
Thank you, Your Honor. Don't believe any ward items in the last 2 weeks. I did attend, as I talked about earlier, the Park and Rec board meeting here last week where Mr. Parsons spoke about the Marion Ross statue, as was talked about earlier. Also, they gave a presentation on the new online system that that Recreation is using here in the city. So now folks in the public have the ability to reserve facilities in the city and also register for programs all online now. So got a presentation on that, and it is a pretty slick system, and it'll also help provide some valuable data too for Recreation staff to see what programs are being utilized, what facilities are being used. And then it's also useful for the public too, because if you want to, say, rent the Edgewater Pavilion, you can look online, and it's all via calendar, and you can see if the space is already being used, maybe at the date that you want, and then you can reserve that as well. So a really neat system, and I know they're very happy to have it up and running. Other than that, I believe that's it, and just everybody be safe. Sounds like we're going to get some winter weather. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. Ward 4, Councilor Olson.
Yeah, just a couple of properties I'm kind of looking into, and got a couple of questions on the Bridge Corridor project coming up. Other than that, everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. That's it, Your Honor.
Okay, Ward 5, Councilor Rasmussen.
I have no meetings this week. There's one ward item I'm currently working on.
All right, thanks. Ward 6, Councilor Brooks.
Ward item, still kind of got a few of the last ones I was talking about. Still working on the issue on the boat dock, and still haven't heard yet back on Milo property. Maybe I'll hear something fairly quick on that one. Did have one CVB meeting I finally made it to, and talked about the lodging tax. There's going to be a few openings that are currently open, so we're going to be doing that. We had the county board come and give a little report. Phil came from Alita, gave a report on everything, and then finally, probably the toast of the meeting, where everybody commented. Our city clerk Daphne came to our meeting, and she talked about our lodging properties and some of the stuff that we go through. And afterwards, they personally asked me if it would be something that she'd be interested in coming once a year at an annual end of the year, because they felt what she had to say was very useful and very important to the CVB. So I just wanted to let her know they really appreciated that she came for that. That's all I got.
All right, thank you. Several things tonight. First of all, once again, tomorrow night, November 26th, right here in this council chambers, we'll be having our open house for the water tower location. So that'll run from 5:30 to 7. So if you're interested in that, please show up. There'll be a short little presentation, I believe, and then we'll kind of talk about that as a group. So also, we have the first annual vendor and crafters Christmas event happening. And everyone's invited to attend this Christmas event at the American Legion on Saturday, November 30th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The event includes pictures with Santa Claus, Christmas cards for kids, and lots of shopping for different types of vendors. And there'll also be lunch there for purchase. So get out and support those activities. Also, we have a couple of different things going on as far as this coming Saturday, Small Business Saturday. So make sure you get out there and celebrate that. You know, we all can be our best economic engine by supporting our small businesses. So get out there and support those businesses coming up on Saturday. Once again, it's all day. Downtown is going to have a lot of different events. They're going to have some passports for you to get stickers from different businesses and some drawings and stuff for that. So get out there and support our small businesses and be our best economic development agents right now. Also had a busy couple of weeks. First of all, went to the Community Action Forum, which is called Make It Albert Lee. About 40 people getting together to talk about ideas for Albert Lee. They're bringing forward plans and gonna be working on those. I appreciate all the work that they've been putting into that. Got to speak at Leadership Day for the leadership group this past, Friday, I believe it was. And I talked to that group. These are people that are looking at different leadership roles and taking classes through the vocational, through the community college, and really appreciate their time there to learn more about our community and also the different governmental agencies that we have here. We also had our ALITA visioning courses, and we did that. It was a 3-hour event with several different community leaders. I believe there's probably about 15 to 20 people there looking at setting up a vision for our ALITA department. We'll be just bringing that out to the community here in the near future. And also attended the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities conference here last week, where we get together with the rural communities throughout the state of Minnesota and talk about issues that really are concerning to rural communities in the state. Basically, this group is our lobby group. They represent rural Minnesota cities at the Capitol and talked about some of the initiatives that we'll be driving forward. They do a lot of fighting for us over the last several years for local government aid and have been quite successful in getting that recouped from where it was at one time. So I appreciate the efforts there, and it was a good conference to meet with a lot of different communities. So with that, we'll move into number 10, our city manager's report.
Yes, Mayor and Council. I've been working with the city attorney on finalizing two business assistance loan agreements, one with a new business coming into town and one with an existing business. Started a discussion with the planning department addressing possible incentives for developers of multifamily housing. We've had, Philip and I from ALITA squired a couple of developers around to various sites with the intent, their intent is to put up some market rate housing in town, and that's what kind of facilitated the potential incentives for them to do that. I'm also working with the city attorney to finalize updates on the South Broadway Urban Renewal Grant, and that would possibly come before council on the December 9th city council meeting. And then I plan to, in the near future, restart discussions on repurposing space at City Hall when the fire department moves out in June.
Okay, all right, thank you. So number 11 is our approval of claims, and 11A is the resolution approving claims.
Mr. Mayor and Council, first claim, $25,000 for Mead and Hunt Incorporated. That's part of the airport master plan, job 1911. $37,750 for Geno's Plumbing and Heating to connect four properties to city water and sewer. I believe that's part of the stables project. $37,912 to Freeborn County Co-op Oil for bulk fuel purchases, unleaded and diesel. $48,142 to Wenzel Construction Incorporated for $33,047 for pay estimate 12. That's a final pay estimate for Johnson Street Reconstruction, job 1804. $15,095 for pay estimate 11, Clausen High Sheridan Giles construction job 1901, and then $80,000 for Freeborn Maurer Cooperative Services for electric service at various locations.
Council?
Move to approve, Your Honor.
A motion from Councilor Howland. Do we have a second?
Second, Your Honor.
Second from Councilor Rasmussen. Any more discussion on the claims? Questions? Clerk, call the roll.
Councilor Rasmussen?
Aye.
Councilor Brooks?
Aye.
Councilor Murray?
Aye.
Councilor Baker?
Aye.
Councilor Holland?
Aye.
Councilor Olson?
Aye.
Mayor Rasmussen?
Aye. Motion carries. Number 12 is adjournment.
So moved.
Got a motion from Councilor Murray. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second from Councilor Howland. Clerk, call the roll.
Councilor Rasmussen?
Aye.
Councilor Brooks?
Aye.
Councilor Murray?
Aye.
Councilor Baker?
Aye.
Councilor Holland?
Aye.
Councilor Olson?
Aye.
Mayor Rasmussen?
Aye. We're now adjourned.